They have a game up against the Titans this week. They are in the top eight as it stands. We thought we'd have a chat with the CEO of the Manly Seagulls, Tony Mestrov. He's on the line. G'day, Tony.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Jim. Happy to be on.
Thank you for your time. Let's get stuck into it, mate. What's the latest? Josh Schuster's contract?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, ongoing discussions are happening with Josh and his manager. They're ongoing. Obviously, also touch base with the NRL. I think the first thing is to ensure that Josh's well-being and welfare is okay. Obviously, there's some issues there. We want to make sure that he's doing okay. He's obviously using some of our people here in the welfare department. And look, at the moment, we haven't negotiated anything. It's safe to say that I doubt Josh will be back playing for the Manly Seagulls, and then we'll come to a deal, hopefully, by the end of the week.
There's a lot of speculation about the clauses that exist or don't exist outside what is a standard contract in the National Rugby League. Are there clauses outside of that?
So there are performance clauses, okay? There's clauses, but we don't want to go down that road. I think we're all in agreement, and this being Josh, his manager, and the man in the Seagulls, that Josh needs to go on to another club to fulfil his potential. And I think everyone agrees that his time hasn't worked out here, and we wish him all the best. So I think everyone agrees with that. So in the, you know, in goodwill, we've come together to try and get Josh to his next destination, and hopefully he does well. So that we've come together like that. It's not like, you know, we're all, you know, kind of there and pulling for each side, where Josh's best interest is at heart. Josh wants to go and get another opportunity. He admitted that. So I think it's been done in the best interest of Josh and also the club.
Okay, so if I was to ask you what are the nature of those clauses, you would answer?
I'd rather not say that. I don't think it's my place to say. I just don't want, I'd rather keep that in-house. I don't want this to play out in the public. It's for me to discuss with you know, internally and with his manager, I think it's fair to say.
Okay, I understand that. Based on that, do the Seagulls now have cap space for 2024?
We haven't as yet come to a deal.
Right.
We really haven't. So I don't want to preempt anything, but I dare say we would.
Okay, and so if we make that presumption, then would it be a like for like? Are you looking to someone to supplement where Josh would have been playing? So we're talking a back rower, et cetera.
No, I probably dare say we would need to replace the back rower. There's obviously Josh was filling that spot, and we had a spot there for him. So I dare say we'd look to fill Josh's spot with a like for like as a back rower.
Anthony Seibold, the speculation is, which you can confirm or deny, the negotiations have started for an extension of his contract. Where are we at with that one, Tony?
Yeah, they haven't started as yet. We've had a pretty open conversation. We always do. We travelled together in October to the US. So, you know, Anthony knows the coaching game better than anyone, but discussions haven't really started. I will start with his agent, you know, around halfway through the year. I did say around 10, and that's not far off the mark.
Yep.
So, you know, Anthony, as up to now, has shown that he's the right coach for this team. The brand of footy we're playing and the way we've played, we just beat the Premiers. We just drew with a top four side from last year, a little unlucky in some quarters. So, you know, he's, I believe, the right man to move forward. So it's up to us to talk to his management. Obviously, Anthony lives in the area. He wants to be here. I think he can build something special. So there's, you know, there's no dramas at all in that. At the opportune time over the next kind of 5 or 6 weeks, we'll have those conversations with his manager.
Well, we have great regard for Anthony here at SEN, given the time that he spent here working. And, yeah, so this is good to see. I want to ask you about this one, Tony. Daly Cherry-Evans is contracted for next year as well. But based on what his output this year, I know his age, he'll be 36 then. But and knowing that you've got his 5/8 partner, Luke Brooks, locked in for an extended period, would you look to, have you spoken to Daly about what his plans are beyond 2025?
So once again, obviously Daly's very conscious of concentrating on football. That's how he is. He's the true professional. So we will be starting conversations with his agent once he has a chat to Daly. We've always said it's up to Daly. We're not forcing him to to do anything he doesn't want to do. So, you know, it does depend on his body and how he's feeling and whether he does want to even play himself. So he'll be telling us what he wants to do. Obviously, he's in the form of his career.
Yep.
He's playing unbelievably. I thought he was our best player last week and one of the best players on the field. So, you know, he's getting better with age. But it's up to him. We don't want to be, you know, making any kind of assertions with him. He'll let us know how he sees it. And, you know, he's the ultimate professional, as we saw last week. So we'll be having discussions with his agent over the next couple of weeks, and he'll be giving an indication of what the future looks like, whether he in fact does want to play another year or even beyond that. So those discussions haven't commenced as yet.
No, it looks like he could play for well and truly another couple of years. Las Vegas, now you've had a chance to sit back. Manly won, so that might change things on it. But the USA adventure, the pros and cons associated with that, Tony, where give us some of the things that you've contemplated and reflected on.
Yeah, sure. I think the pros are that it was an unbelievable experience to play on the world stage. The stadium was something else. We had an absolute abundance of Manly fans. I think we actually had the most fans. They say that Manly fans don't travel, but in this case, we did. It was an enormous atmosphere. I thought it was a really good life experience for the players to play there and to be obviously the first team that plays for 2 points. I think the difficulty was the cost factor. I think the NRL will say this, as well as the teams. I think anyone that went to Las Vegas thought it was expensive. I think that's that's a real difficulty and something, you know, we all need to overcome. There's no doubt that we'd be up for the experience in the future. It was something that was pretty special, and we'd go back definitely. But look, it was a great life experience. I thought that we got it right by staying in Vegas. That was truly a great experience. And look, we've obviously put an AOI in as well, and we're all waiting to hear back. But I think we might find that, you know, there's the new teams will be going to Vegas rather than teams that played last year. I'm not sure, but it's heading that way from what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Well, you could go to Gilgandra. That's a lot cheaper, but doesn't quite have the same allure, does it? So, one of the draw cards, obviously, of Las Vegas was Allegiant Stadium, which brings me directly back to Four Pines Park and some of the unique things that we've been hearing. What is the latest with some of the funding methods that you've looked at, most notably with the UFC for Brookvale Oval?
Yeah, sure. We've had ongoing discussions with UFC, obviously the government, and developers. So there's obviously no money coming for Stadia anytime soon. And we thought we'd take control ourselves of our future. It's been an ongoing discussion waiting for government funding. It's simply not going to happen. So we've engaged developers now to come up with a spec to build our own stadium and also develop the Brookvale Oval site. So UFC, part of that is conversations with third party like UFC. We had initial chat, it was extremely positive. They've obviously got a major company that owned them called Silverlake, and they'd be the ones that had acquired the asset. So the ongoing conversations are still being had with UFC, but it's kind of about to start around what we want to do in the redevelopment space. The council, you know, they it's an expensive asset for them. It's not really their core business.
Right.
And they've been here a long time. It's becoming costly for them. So they haven't got the capacity to kind of do anything at the moment down here. So, you know, it's been pretty collaborative with the council. Also, as I said on before in the media, that I've got a really positive response from developers and particularly the government in being supportive of what we're trying to do here. It's a high-density area, sought-after area. So we're pretty excited about what the future could look like. And as I said, we're taking control ourselves instead of waiting for some funding that ultimately mightn't come.
Okay, so I'm looking at this. If UFC put money into that, they go, well, right, we want to own it, right? And the sticking point that we discussed earlier was the fact that Northern Beaches Council own it. But you're suggesting there they might divest themselves of that asset because it's not their core business and it doesn't make them any money. And that might be an opportunity where this could take place. Is that a summary, Tony?
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly right. And look, I know from, you know, when Northern Beaches Council were contacted that they had no plans for Brookvale Oval. And that's kind of, I think, a flavour of where this is at. The asset is getting too expensive for everyone, and there's only one choice,
yep,
is to develop this. And that's not council core business. They're meant to look after their local ratepayers and so on. It's just not something they would take on. So we have, you know, more of a capacity to do that, to do a JV with both the council initially and a developer, and then with the council, you know, ultimately stepping out. So yeah. There is a long way to go, but it's pretty exciting because it's the obvious choice of what to do, and all parties get what they actually require, and we get a brand new stadium for our local fans, and they're fully deserving of this. They've put up with, you know, some limited facilities for a long, long time. Although we love this place from a Fortress point of view, the facilities are very limited.
Yeah,
and our fans deserve better. So, you know, that's all part of it. The local community and building a revenue stream that the club, you know, can live forever.
And I think Silver Lake are the investors in the A-League, right? So you could see Sydney FC games being played at a co-owned stadium. But anyway, we're maybe getting right ahead
That's
of ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Juan the Eagle said, loves Manly, supporter group that he's online with. The only concern he has, home games, players don't hang around that long to spend time with fans. They're ushered into the sheds. What would you say to Juan, who's a big supporter of Manly?
No, it's probably something we can definitely look at different times. The players obviously go to a couple ends of the ground and get inside to listen what the coach has to say. But I'll take that on board and pass that on and try and remedy that situation.
Yeah. You ready for Desi Hazler and the Titans this Saturday?
We hope so. Des and I've always got on well. Maybe didn't part ways in the best way, but look, we're against each other on Saturday night, and hopefully we can get over the top.
Tony, always good with your time. Do appreciate it, mate. All the best for this weekend and the season remaining.
Thanks, Jimmy. Really appreciate it.
Tony Mestrov there, the CEO of the Manly Seagulls. We're going to get to the news. We're running way late.